Imagine you're an investor, maybe a policymaker. You're making big decisions, right? Based on how major events seem to hit the stock market.
Yeah, crucial decisions.
You look at the data, you see a signal, you think, okay, got it. But what if that signal is, well, just noise? What if the tools we're using are actually kind of routinely misleading us? Today on The Deep Dive, we're going to pull back the curtain on this hidden statistical trap in finance research. And also look at a pretty brilliant new way to avoid it. Okay, let's unpack this.
It's a really fundamental challenge because understanding how stocks react short term around these big events, you know, like elections, policy changes, that sort of thing.
Quasi-experimental events, yeah.
Exactly. And then trying to link those reactions to specific company traits, like, say, their tax rate or how much they invest.
That's the goal, right?
That's the goal. Researchers are always trying to figure out if the event actually caused those differences in returns. But as we'll see, it's way more complicated than it looks on the surface.
And that really gets us to the core issue of the research we're diving into today. It's a paper called Past is Prologue, Inference from the Cross-Section of Returns Around an Event.
By Cohn, Johnson, Liu, and Wardlaw. It's due out September 2025.
Right. And it warns about this really severe risk of false positives, basically getting it wrong, all because of something they call confounding events.
Mm-hmm.
So our mission for you listening in is to really get your head around this hidden problem and then understand this powerful new solution they propose.
Okay, so let's nail down what a confounding event actually is.
Good idea.
Think of it like, okay, you start a new diet, right? No one knows if that made you lose weight.
Makes sense.
But on the same day, you also start hitting the gym hard and you totally cut out sugar.
Ah, okay. Multiple changes.
Exactly. So how do you know what really caused the weight loss? Was it the diet, the gym, less sugar?
Hard to go.
Right. So in the markets, a confounding event is some other news, totally unrelated, that breaks around the same time as your main event, say, a big trade deal announcement. And that other news also hits different companies differently based on their characteristics.
Precisely. So it looks like the trade deal caused the return differences. But maybe, just maybe, it was actually this other background news.
Okay, I see the problem.
And here's where it gets, well, honestly, a bit unsettling. The paper looked at the 2019 U.S.-China trade deal, the U.K. Brexit vote, even a blood moon eclipse.
Yeah, the eclipse, really.
Yeah. And they all showed statistically significant links between the returns on that day and company investment rates.
Wow. Okay.
But here's the kicker. That same relationship, one day returns versus investment rate, it was statistically significant at the 5% level on, get this, 48.4% of all trading days in 2019.
Wait, nearly half of all days just randomly?
Just randomly.
That's huge. So it's not just about the specific event you're studying.
Doesn't seem like it.
What's fascinating here is that this isn't some isolated thing. The research actually dug deeper. They found that these kinds of relationships, one-day returns and various firm characteristics, were significant at the 1% level on average about 33.4% of the time.
A third of all trading days between 1991 and 2021.
That's right. A third of the time, which really suggests that standard statistical tests are often, well, testing the wrong null hypothesis, as they put it.
Meaning they're not properly accounting for all this background chatter in the market.
Exactly. And the usual fixes, you know, like robust standard errors or clustering by industry, they often don't really solve this specific problem.
No, not.
Because they don't handle these common sort of market-wide shocks that just happen day to day and shift how different stocks react to any news. That's the confounding effect, especially for things like firm size or market to book. Those seem particularly prone to these spurious signals.
Okay, so if our standard methods are frequently sending us down the wrong path, what can researchers actually do?
Well, thankfully, the paper doesn't just point out the problem. It offers a solution.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Right. Instead of just looking at the event day itself in isolation.
Which seems flawed now.
You compare the relationship you see on the event day to how that same relationship looks across a whole series of non-event days, like a baseline.
Ah, okay. So you're asking, is this effect I see today really unusual compared to like a normal Tuesday? Or is it just market static?
Precisely. Now, there's an older approach that tried this called time series OLS or TSOLS. Goes back to Sefcik and Thompson in 86.
Okay, so people knew this was sort of an issue.
To some extent, yes. And TSOLS is better than nothing, definitely a step up. But it still tends to find significance a bit too often. The rates are slightly too high.
Why is that?
It seems to be because of what we call fat tails in the data. Real market returns have more extreme, unexpected jumps than standard models assume. That throws off the TSOLS calculations a bit.
Gotcha. Okay, so that brings us to this paper's big idea.
Exactly. Their key innovation, the time series GLS or TSGLS approach.
GLS generalize these squares.
Correct. And this isn't just a minor adjustment, it's a different way of thinking about it. TSGLS uses a pretty sophisticated technique, principal component analysis, PCA.
Okay, PCA. Bring that down a little.
Think of it like a very smart filter. It looks at tons of past market return data, not just for obvious trends, but for all the complex, subtle ways that different stocks tend to move together or against each other.
So it captures the underlying structure better.
Much better. It builds a clearer, more accurate picture of the market's real correlation patterns, and that leads to more efficient, more reliable estimates of the event effect.
And does it work? What are the gains?
Oh, the practical gains seem quite significant. They find TSGLS typically spots these sort of artificial relationships, the false positives, 2 to 3 times as often as the older TSOLS method.
2 to 3 times better. Wow.
Yeah. For instance, if there was like a fake 50 basis point effect introduced, TSGLS caught it 61.2% of the time at the standard 5% significance level. That's way better than TSOLS.
Okay, so why is it so much more powerful? What's the secret sauce there?
It's really because of that PCA step you mentioned. PCA shows that how stock returns correlate isn't simple. It's highly complex, multidimensional, and crucially, it varies considerably over time.
Right, the market isn't static.
Not at all. Simple categories like just grouping by industry, they just can't capture all that dynamic complexity. The GLS approach using PCA adapts to that complexity. It makes it much more robust at separating a real event signal from just, regular market churn.
So what does this all mean? If you're listening, what's the big takeaway?
Well,
Basically, the standard ways we've often used to measure how big events affect stocks, they're kind of prone to crying wolf, seeing effects that are just random noise.
that seems to be the case, yes. Frequent false positives.
And while comparing to non-event days, using time series, OLS was an improvement.
A good step.
This new TSGLS method seems to offer a really substantial leap forward in statistical power. It helps researchers actually pinpoint the genuine effects much more reliably.
And this deep dive, I think, it really highlights a critical challenge for anyone doing or using financial research, but it also gives us a more reliable toolkit.
A better way to see what's really going on.
Right. It reminds us to always kind of question the assumptions behind the statistics, which, raises an important question.
Go on.
Well, if even top-tier, highly cited financial studies might have been influenced by these false positives just from regular daily news,
Yeah.
what other hidden forces, what other background noise might be shaping the facts we think we know about the market? What insights about cause and effect might we still be missing entirely?